Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So here we go, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cow Army share their thoughts on all things town. Of course, we are proudly sponsored by Ginger Pickle and Manscaped. Use the code COWAY to get 20% off and free delivery at manscaped.com. And all your Google ads and marketing needs, go to Ginger Pickle. And we have another great show in store. I'm joined by good old James and Segs to discuss all things town. Boys, hope you had a good week. Everyone who's listening has had a good week as well. I'm going to go over to good old James first of all. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I spoke to you on Saturday in the fog in Oxford. Have you recovered from that afternoon in Oxfordshire?
Oh, yeah. Much happier than Saturday afternoon. Saturday evening, I went to go visit a friend in Cheltenham. So that vastly improved my evening, made me get over the fog very quickly, had some beers and drowned my sorrows. And then, obviously Tuesday night, which we'll come to, very pleasurable first half watching experience on iFollow for me. And yeah, a good week in general and looking forward to Saturday now in the FA Cup.
Indeed, my friend. Indeed, FA Cup magic. Here we come. Over to you then, Segs, my friend. Good to have you back on the show. Big news in the Segs household. He's in a new house right now. Your first pod in the new house. How's that been? I know for everybody it's stressful, Moon House. But yeah, how's things, my friend?
Yeah, it's going well. I'd say stressful. It's a shame to leave our old house. It was happy memories there. But of course, now we're bought our own house, looking to make more memories there. Get it the way we want it, really. Early days, but we'll get there, I'm sure.
And for the listeners, you can't see our faces. Segs is wearing a very, very nice kit, indeed, my friend. Paint a picture of your shirt for the listeners out there.
So it's the 97-99 home shirt, you know, with the badges in the middle, and we've got the horses on the sleeves, and the Green King sponsor. A lovely, lovely shirt. Obviously, I don't understand why anyone would wear it in summer because it's fleecy. But apart from that, it's a very lovely shirt. And actually, Katie got me this shirt for Christmas. Not this shirt. I've had this shirt for ages, but like this, the same shirt basically as a bucket hat. So I'm waiting for the warmer weathers to wear that sort of away games. Fleetwood away definitely. If we get to Wembley for May, I'll definitely be wearing it there when we get promoted through the playoffs. If we go that route, so yeah.
You know, you got a jacket with the horses down the side as well. Is that from the same? Like, I know that's copper, but is that from the same era or not era, but like same years?
Yeah, it's all the same kind of range. I've also got a training shirt,
same season.
Sorry,
was it the same season?
I'm not sure. I don't know because it's a copper remake. I'm not entirely sure on that. There's also a really cool shirt they wore at Wembley, which is just plain white, which I've got. It's got the horses down the side, the punches down the side, I should say. It's a lovely shirt as well. I don't wear that one much because it's obviously a bit more rare, but that's a lovely shirt.
Yeah, honestly, I've been seeing some great iconic shirts and, you know, even just training wear, and it's just like, oh, they look so good and so retro, of course. But yeah, it's always good to see. Definitely away games. I see so many great just shirts. And of course, now the club are doing more and more retro, and it just looks great. And of course, the new kits, of course, are beautiful this season, but you can't beat some of our old retro shirts. Indeed.
Last season, I was fed up about it. That's really good. I bought the shirts, obviously, but I wore the retro shirts more so than I have this year. This year, I've stuck to the blue, red and black, and the black because I love all three shirts this season. So I haven't really gone too retro, but I'm sure there'll be a season where I'm not too keen on shirts again, so I'll go back to wearing the old ones.
Indeed, my friend. Indeed. Oh, we've gone down a rabbit hole we can never get out of sometimes with kits.
I've got another point about kits as well. Yeah. Like, I know we've sold absolutely loads of the black kit, but to be honest, I see so many people wearing it at games as well. And I don't have a problem with that, but whenever I went to games, I always was a bit of a bit of a purist. I always try to wear as close as to what the team would be wearing. But I see so many black kits at the games as well. I've got my black kit. I need to pick it up from the shop, but I'll probably just use it as like a bit more of a fashion piece rather than going to football. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just it's cool to see like loads of people in all Ipswich Town these days.
Especially since the summer, all shirts, you sort of see kids. It's lovely seeing all the kids wearing them again. It's been a miss the past few years. So, yeah, the free shirt, all free shirts you see about, and it's just lovely to see them all, really. I'm always home for home and away for away, James. It doesn't matter if we're wearing home for away. So you say you want to wear match.
That's much closer aligned to what I'd wear. When I was younger, I used to get both home and away shirts. Well, when I was very young, because they only used to do them every 2 years. So I used to get one shirt a year. And so I used to get the home and the away. And then whenever we'd play away, I'd wear the away shirt, whether I was going or not. And then my home shirt, I'd always wear the home shirt. But these days, I pretty much just buy the home shirts most seasons. So home shirt everywhere most of the time now.
I really love the red and black, but I love the black more, even more so. So I kind of pushed the red and black aside, really, for the black one for away games, which I kind of hate myself for doing, but I really like the black shirt.
It's such a shame. They could have just done the black shirt next season, and then we could have enjoyed the red and black for all its glory, because it is a really nice kit.
Or left the red and black next year.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But then they're still wearing the red and black on the pitch, aren't they? The black's hardly worn, like you say. It's just the black shirt gets worn more by the fans, really, which is fair enough. I can understand why. And the sale is done, especially with Ed, like Ed designed it, so it's obviously going to get Ed fans buying it as well. I mean, he's always going to draw. I mean, I remember Framlingham when he wore the home shirt in Chantry for the Sunday night. And then all of a sudden they had people emailing him just to get a shirt just because he wore it that night. So you can see how many sales he makes. So it's brilliant why we've got him on our shirts, and it's such a great business move.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic draw to have him involved in the club, and hopefully for many years to come as well. I hope we can keep striking up those deals, like to keep him involved, because you know he clearly has an affinity with the area and the club now, even if he didn't when he was younger, but. Yeah, such a good marketing opportunity.
And he's got to release his new album soon now, so we know what the sponsor's going to be for next season.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, keep the loop with that. All right then, boys. As you know, I love my kits as well, but we've gone down a very deep rabbit hole here. Let's come out of it and let's sum up the last two results. Morecambe, 4-0 win at Porton Road, but then, of course, Oxford in the fog, a 2-1 defeat. James... To start off, really, how do you sum up the last two results? 3 points, clean sheet against Morecambe, good performance. Oxford in the fog, your thoughts?
Yeah, so Morecambe, let's start with Morecambe on Tuesday. It is kind of a return to the expectations that we've kind of built up as Ipswich fans this season. It's been a difficult period since Christmas. Obviously, we beat Oxford on Boxing Day. And then since then, we've gone for a bit of a difficult patch of form. So, and it almost came to the point that you heard frustration after the Oxford game. You heard some fans saying, okay, that's the automatics out of the picture, which, you know, is a classic fan overreaction piece, which is unfortunate, but we're emotional when it comes to football. We want our team to win every week. So as much as the disappointment was at Oxford on Saturday, like the performance that we had first half on Tuesday especially was just exactly what the doctor ordered. Like, nobody can complain that we didn't put Morecambe to the sword and we didn't deserve that. Like, some games you win 1-0 and you're not really convinced, and you probably think, oh, okay, we got the result, but we're not going to gain any momentum from that. Actually, the way we played on Tuesday, like, you really feel like that could be, okay, we've banished the bad form now and we could actually have a real go at creating something good again. I think that's helped by the players we've got in the building and the performances they put in last night. And they really gave a kick up the backside to some of the others. And not a kick up, not like in a bad way, but it made them play better. And I can come back to that in a little bit when we go in a bit more detail. But just as a final point, like, it's classic Ipswich Town, isn't it? You feel ultimate lows after you've lost a game and put in a pretty dire performance and you think all is lost. And then you come out against Morecambe, against a team you should be beating if we do have any expectations of going up this season, but really like putting in a good performance and showing everybody, okay, maybe we can do this. And people are optimistic again. One good performance, people are optimistic. So it's really good to be in that place right now. But you have to realise that if we lose to Cambridge, we're still not out of the race for the top two. It obviously gets harder every time we drop points. But I think quite a few of our managers, well, McKenna is very good at this. And some other managers have been good at it. And some of them probably not so good, but not overreacting too much when we put in a good performance, like keeping everybody level, because the season is long. Like the season is really long. We're still in January. We've still got like 4 months of football to play. And we just need to keep picking up those points and getting more wins, because we keep getting draw. We have got Kip getting draws. And they're not going to take us anywhere fast. So keep picking up those 3 points. Performances like on Tuesday and we'll be golden.
Indeed, my friend. Things over to you there, my friend. How would you sum up the last two results? Where were you at on Saturday to where you were at on Tuesday? Take away. And were you impressed by some of the new players? Harry Clark has got a lot of praise from Tuesday night. Nathan Broadhead as well. George Hurst got some praise as well. But yeah, how would you sum up the last two one games?
So yeah, sort of low and high, really, wasn't it? Foggy mood after the game on Saturday, obviously. I still don't understand how that didn't get called off. Selfishly, I didn't want it called off, really, because that's another 260 miles on the car, or whatever it is, that you've got to do again if you go back. If I did was to go back to do the rearranged game, obviously. But realistically, it should have been called off. And I think in the news today or yesterday that the ref's been demoted as an need to fourth official for League Two for two games. So it just goes to show what a bad decision it was. You know, he's obviously going to pay for that now for misleading the managers. But yeah, leaving the game, kind of thought, yeah, that's it now. Top two is kind of getting more and more out of reach as we look at it, especially after not beating Plymouth the week before that. Because, you know, you look at our form recently, Charlton, what happened there? Sheffield Wednesday, we won 1-0 up at Plymouth and then we threw that away as well. And, you know, there's Fleetwood at home. All these games that we've had recently, was it the first half of the season, that was kind of, if it was just one of them, it wouldn't matter so much. But now it's getting to the point where we're having so many of those kind of results that it's going to start affecting our season. And some of it's not all our fault. I mean, Barnsley at home, you know, it's the ref, like just like last week, really. Like Saturday, we just, everything seems to be going against us at times, but sometimes it's also our fault. So, you know, we can't blame it all on the officials, because, you know, we have where we are now is partly for how we've played as well at times. So, but after Tuesday, really good, promising first half. It's come out the way they come out flying. It's, always wanted to beat Morecambe, expected them to beat Morecambe, but never expected it to start off as well as that, to be fair. And the thing that annoyed me most, was if you go back to Saturday, we know we can score from corners. Leif Davis is, I don't know how many corners we scored from, you know, with Leif Davis when he's taken them. I think there was 3 occasions on Saturday, twice in the second half, which is, you know, just put it in the box. You never know what's going to happen. Short corner to Morsey. Why? Leif Davis knows he's going to, you know, we know from Leif Davis' corners we score. So I don't really understand against Oxford why we were playing it that way. It didn't work. They were wasteful corners. And, you know, we were just off it on Saturday. But again, Tuesday first half, it proved why, you know, he needs to do that. And we were back at it. And like I say, the first half, we're just relentless. 4-0 up at half time. It's a shame we couldn't come out and get a couple more after the. After half time, but of course, you know, the game was done. Rest some players, take them off. That's why Morsey didn't need to play the whole game. It's fair enough why he came off. So yeah,
Can I touch on some of the good bits from the new players, and maybe we can talk about that, Sex? Because like when you were talking about Oxford on Saturday, I was just crying out for somebody to take long shots or pot shots, a bit more pot shots. And I feel like we just don't do that. We haven't done that enough this season. And then on Tuesday, like, Broadhead had probably about three or four shots from the edge of the box. And I, and also three or four through balls, like, or at least attempted through balls, like playing in behind. Obviously got the assist for Ladapo's second goal. And I feel like we've actually been missing quite a lot of those attributes all season. Quite a lot of the time, our build-up play is very methodical, like sideways, kind of trying to unlock a defence that way. Whereas what he offered was a bit more variety, a bit more direct in, like, but not direct like over the top, but like direct just through. So just trying to get the defence turning on their heels and playing balls through, running at defences. So I felt like his debut was probably underrated from a lot of people, and he was my favourite player on Tuesday and man of the match. And Sakes, do you want to talk about the other debutant?
Harry Clark, when he was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant debut from him, or, you know, brilliant home debut from him. You know, he's made a point. I really can't see how Dineshin starts many more games now, unfortunately, which is, to be fair to him, he's had a really good season and a half, you know, since sort of Cook came in. But yeah, you know, with Harry Clark in here now, I just don't see how he gets in. Harry Clark showed on Tuesday night, you know, what he offers. I mean, there was I think it was in the first half, the challenge he made, the passion that he went in with that challenge at some point during the first half, you know, we've been missing that. And it's great to see that back at the club. You know, he obviously, you know, grew up in Ipswich, he loves the club himself. So he's going to make a massive difference going forward for our season, definitely.
And Clark was doing what JD was doing like a year ago, basically. He was overlapping Wes Burns. And like, as I was alluding to earlier, I felt Wes had probably his best game in a while. And I think it was because of that support down the right-hand side going forward.
Admittedly, I also think it's not just that. I also think it's McKenna sent a message on Tuesday. If you don't play very well, I will drop you. I mean, all three defenders deserve to be dropped after Saturday for that, just for that first goal that they conceded, that, which was just a dire goal to concede. So the fact that he dropped all three just goes to show that if you are off form, I will drop you. And, you know, he hasn't shown it too much in the past recently, to be fair. But, you know, he has, that is a message that if you do start underperforming for me, you're going to get punished, and rightfully so.
And Burns and Clark could obviously exploit Morecambe because of two reasons. Basically, they were not very good going forward. And two, their ball retention was absolutely awful. I felt like as a team, Ipswich were fantastic at winning the ball back like very quickly as soon as Morecambe had any kind of possession. I can't remember them putting like a lot of passes together in that first half, just because like we were snapping at them, getting the ball back, and also they were just giving it away. So we're going to have tougher tests defensively, and we might not look as good going forward down that right hand side as we did on Tuesday. But it's a very promising start. Let's just put it that way.
But then it also takes the pressure off Davis on that left hand side now. And we've got Broadhead there as well now, who's going to add so much more, like you said already. So if we can get that right hand side firing again, if we've got both sides firing on all cylinders, then we are going to be quite a force once again.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm sort of going to jump ahead now, boys, onto a different feature. We were going to do something else, but now I'm going to jump ahead about... Let's talk about the starting 11 going forward then, and the strongest starting 11, not for the Burnley game, but just in general for the next league games. Of course, the game against Cambridge. We all know that Walton is starting in goal, so we can skip ahead of that. But let's talk about defence. As Segs mentioned, you know, the whole back to, you know, Burgess and Wilfie got dropped. They weren't in the 18. I know McKenna's going to use his substitutions very well now because he can do that. And I think players understand that they may, one week, they may be in the 18 or starting, but they may be out of the 18. But James Segs, if you tell me you're back three, what are you doing? Are you back three or back four?
God, Segs, you start.
Depends how you look at it, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm playing a back four with a, you know, marauding right back.
Okay, so yeah, so we do it like that, shall we? So yeah, it'd be Harry Clark for me on the right, and then Wolfenden. This is where it gets difficult because they both they both make mistakes and then they get dropped, but then the other one comes in and does well. And then they start making mistakes and then they get dropped again. I like Burgess on the left-hand side. He's left-footed. He does the no-nonsense stuff brilliantly. I remember Exeter, every time the ball came to him, he just dealt with it perfectly. Yeah, but then Edmondson as well. I don't like him on that left-hand side because he's right-footed, but at the same time, he offers something different. He can go forward. He's got a good partnership with Davis, to be fair, as well. So I think on balance, for what the way we want to play, you'd have to go with Edmondson for me. But it's just, again, like I say, there's going to be a point probably where he starts making mistakes again and we have to bring Burgess in and they'll keep chopping and changing. But I think on balance, it'd have to be Edmondson for me and then Davis.
Of course, of course. What are you doing then, James? I think a lot of people are going to put Clark, but a good thing with Janoi, he's versatile, so Janoi can come on in the second half in any position, really, if you want him to. But who you start? I'm sure you're going to start Wolford, but Burgess Edmondson is the big talking point. Or Richard Keogh.
You're being quite presumptuous there, Ross.
I am.
I have Clark down on my list, but it comes with a caveat. Comes with a caveat that he plays like he did on Tuesday. I've only seen him for one game. I didn't really see him for Stoke. I haven't really seen his highlights reel. So, you know, that could be a one-off. We see players make debuts and they're absolutely incredible. Think of, oh my God, Grant Ward, hat-trick on debut? Was it Grant Ward? There you go. So hat-trick on debut, looks like they're absolutely electric. KVY, 9 games, absolutely electric, and then gets injured and never becomes the same player again. And various other wingers careers.
My boy, Luciano Chiavelli.
Well, that was one game, wasn't it?
Sorry? Was that 13 one game?
Oh, dear. So, I'm putting Clark in, but I'm putting it in on the proviso that he plays in a similar way as he did on Tuesday. If we find out that he's weak defensively, which I don't think he is, considering of the money we've paid for him, the research that we've done, and his championship experience. But if we find out that he's weak defensively, then I would have absolutely no qualms of putting Janoi Dinassian back in. He's been absolutely fantastic for this club on a number of occasions, but in particular the last 2 years kind of thing. And I think they might actually learn stuff from each other, because if we're going to get them to play the same position and play the same role of the overlapping right back, like the overlapping centre back or right back, then I think that'll be good for each other to push each other on. My back two are Wolfie and Edmondson. I say that because I have a bit of a soft spot for Edmondson, but I'm actually thinking McKenna might give Burgess more game time between now and the end of the season. That's maybe not the case based on Tuesday, but the strange thing was that Edmondson was out of the squad for a long time, and I still don't really understand why. And I know he came out and said, oh, you're either on the pitch or on the bench. Oh, no, sorry, on the pitch or out of the squad. He said that a bit today, or it might have been yesterday. But I do think that he might just prefer Burgess, just in general. So that will, time will tell. But my two are Wolfie and Edmondson there. I feel like they are the best on the ball and they will offer kind of the best. They'll just be our best defence. And also, I think Burgess is close to his peak, whereas I think those two will get better with game time, even now. And then, Leif Davis at left back, he's been absolutely fantastic this season. I think there's a few first names on the team sheet, but he's there's no competition for him right now.
No, there isn't. And sometimes it depends on... Oh, sorry, Sex, carry on.
That was just a bit of a random observation I've noticed. Ever since Burgess has lost his mask, he doesn't seem to be the same. I don't know if it was the mask fault for his sort of
maybe.
I don't know. It was really weird. It was really, really weird seeing him with the mask to begin with, and then it was really weird seeing him without it once he started playing without it. But yeah, do
you reckon he's still thinking about that? Do you think it still causes him any discomfort at all, or is that all gone now? You'd think if you're playing without a mask, it's not causing you any pain or any.
No, but then, like I say, his form does seem to have dipped since he took the mask off. So maybe whether that's, I don't know, maybe it's a mental thing. I don't know. I'm not a therapist or anything like that to kind of go down that deep, but just make you wonder.
I'd be interested to hear, like, look at back at like players who have had to wear a mask, because like Harry Kane's had it before. I think Son wore it at one stage, and his other players. There's so many players I can mention, but it'd be interested to see if they got really in good form after, you know, having to wear it and stuff. But no, a good observation on that.
Son has been awful since when he had his mask on, I think.
Okay. Ignore that then. Ignore that. That was a pointless fact to bring up, but there we go. As I was about to say, you know, sometimes it depends on the opposition, because Emerson and Keogh both played in the reverse fixture against Morecambe, of course, when we beat them. And they've come in again this time around, but there we go.
That's nothing. That's two league starts for Keogh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two league wins.
I was actually a bit nervous when Keogh started on Tuesday, because not because I think he's bad. I think he's actually quite a solid head. But on last time he played, I can't remember the game. It was an away game, but he came off at half time, I believe, and I think it might have been due to fitness potentially.
Was it maybe a cup game, or was it
played against Rotherham, didn't he, and just give away the penalty?
Oh, yes.
I think it was Wickham. He came off at half time.
I wasn't there.
It's the only game I've missed.
It was Wickham. He came off at half time, and and then when I saw that he was starting, and there's only one defender on the bench, I was like, I hope he can make 90 minutes. But he looked fine, and they didn't really have much to do. So
there was
no issues.
No issues at all. The
only thing they did have to do is that sensational double block where they both decided to go for the block. And I think that's basically the main thing they both had to do.
Pretty much. And just play around the back and pass a little bit. That's the back four. Let's go into the midfield. I think pretty much, well, once again, I'm assuming here, Lee Evans, Sam Morsey in the middle for both of you. Is that it? Or are you going to bring Cameron Humphreys in?
That's it for me.
Yeah, Evans and Morsey have to start. Best players we've got there. If Dumball was fit, I'm sure James would go in after the way he runs in after him for photos. But yeah,
I do have a soft spot for Dumball after me and Segs and a few others saw him on the platform of Charlton Station. He was very nice, but I don't think he's played since. So.
He's out for the season.
Yeah, well, I think that was his last game, and then...
No, he played it. I heard we have an FA Cup first round. He played there, didn't he? And then he injured after that. Because he got on the train with us, didn't he, if you remember? And then Marcus, who was on the train, he got off after us. He said he got off at London Bridge with him, and he was limping all the way from the station. So there was obviously something right.
I know, he's just got a footballer's limp. A lot of footballers just limp, don't they? Because they're just, you know, hard.
After that game, because it was the Charlton game, you know, let's not talk about it. Injury time, the fun injury time.
Yeah.
And I said, when I got off the train, I said to Dom, I said, have a good weekend. And he goes, I'll try. Like, as he was like, really sad and downbeat. I don't blame him. Like, you know, you've just chucked away 2 points, basically, so. Not personally, but as a team.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what an absolute freak result. We'll look back at that and go, bloody hell. So then, that's sorted then. Let's say the front three, would you say? Would you say the front three? Once again, formations. Oh, it's not my specialty. What are we going
the front
for? 4-2-3-1?
And then the one.
4-2-3-1. Yeah, I don't know. Depends if you go. I don't know, but yeah. So, what are you going to go for then, James and Segs? Far away your team, and then any reasons why you're picking certain players?
I'd go Burns, Chaplin, Broadhead, based on the other night. Broadhead's obviously been brought into play. If he can stay fit, he's going to make a big difference to our team. Our attacking, the way we play football, attacking wise. Obviously, Chaplin scoring. We've got 15 goals now. He's going to get 20 for us. We all needed a striker, another striker at the beginning of the season, but he's plugged up the goals for us. And he's going to keep scoring for us. He's had a great season so far. So you can't really drop him. And then obviously Burns as well. Him and Clark, if they can get that partnership going like they did the other night, they're going to create a threat on that right hand side again for us. So that's what we've got to start with most of the time. Feels like a harness really, because he had a good start to the season. So he does things well, Harness, but I think he's going to get limited starting time now, unfortunately, which you know is one of those things.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty boring pod if we've got the same 11, because I have Burns and I have Chaplin and I have Broadhead. So I think that as the aforementioned new boy played really well on Tuesday, it again comes with the caveat that form continues, because as Seg said, like if you saw Harness after a couple of games, you'd probably put him in your first 11. But yeah, he looked really good on Tuesday. Chaplin has had an incredible season. Like he's leveled up from last season, and he had a good season last season. And if Burns can get that partnership back and you know, play like he did Tuesday as well, then he's definitely starting for me. I did have an actual thought, like, obviously, this is not going to be the first 11 for all the games. I kind of wondered if you could kind of play Danasian and you play Clark outside him and you kind of play like that and you drop Burns. I don't know if he could be attacking enough to actually offer anything down that side. It'd be more like a five at the back, really, rather than that. But you saw how he got forward on Tuesday. So I'm kind of wondering if that you could kind of maybe do that in some games where you felt you needed to shore up the back a little bit more. But I don't really think Burns is very good at defending. Like when he does ever try and slot in, it's definitely not his forte. Let's just put it that way. But I don't know if Clark would offer anything similar to what Burns could going forward. Time will tell, I suppose.
I like it. I think you could do the job there. But then, yeah, Wes Burns, of course, he's a fan favourite, and he's been,
as,
you know.
As I said in game day after Oxford, basically, Clark's going to run through brick walls for us. So if you told him to play in goal, he'd play in goal. If you told him to if you told him to wash the boots, he'd wash the boots. Like, not saying that he deserves to do that, but, like, he's Ipswich lad and he wants success like all us fans do. So, I mean, I'm sure all of the players do, but, you know, it means that extra special something when it's your own team.
Definitely. Well, let's talk then about the forwards then. Now, this could be a different debate because, yeah, you may choose the same striker, but we shall see. Segs, James, for Ladapo or Hurst for you?
James, go first this time.
Or Jackson.
Or had me. Don't forget, had me.
Or had me.
No.
Right. Okay. I think I'm going 50-50 on this. And I'm fencing it. I put Ladapo on my sheet, okay?
Okay.
So it's Ladapo. But I feel like once Hurst gets some game time, as in, I reckon, two more starts, and I think he'll be as good, and if not better, than Ladapo. I think Ladapo had his best game in ages on Tuesday, and I keep saying that, so maybe he's getting better as well. But I'm starting Ladapo for now, but I would revisit that at the end of February and maybe give you a different answer.
Okay, sounds good. Segs, over to you then, my friend. What are you doing?
Well, on form, it's Ladapo for me. I feel like I think I saw a tweet today, which I completely agree with. I can't remember who said it now, but Ladapo is finally fitting in and knowing how to play with our style of football instead of getting it lumped up to him all season, like he had at Rotherham. He's had to adapt to the way that we play, and I think he's adapted well. He holds the ball up well. He brings our other attacking players into the game much more. Apart from against Plymouth, where he could easily plaster the Burns twice during the game and probably would have beat Plymouth then, but you know, he decided to shoot. But I think he's obviously, he knows he's got competition now. He knows he's he knows there's competition there and stuff for him. So he's obviously picking up form. I think with Hurst here, I think he'll stay in good form because he knows there's better competition to come in for him. So yeah, in general, yeah.
I actually thought he had great variety on Tuesday, which was really nice to see. Like, he obviously got his tap in, which I would say that's the thing I'd say he's quite famous for. But so many times he had his back to goal, like backing onto the centre back, holding up the ball, laying it off to the edge of the box to, like, whether it was Broadhead, Chaplin, Burns, like he was laying them off to all of them. And then obviously he had the ball put through to him where he was running off the defender. So we saw him run in behind, we saw him hold it up, we saw him score a tap in. Like, I thought it was kind of almost complete performance from him on Tuesday. And you don't always see that all those facets of his game in one go, but I feel like on Tuesday we did.
I think
Maybe
Broadhead
again,
will
maybe it's
right.
again it's the quality of the defense, but you know, it's nice to see at the very least.
But I think the combination of Broadhead and Chaplin brought the best out of him as well, to be fair. And I think if they can keep that up, I think they'll be the three of them will be a force to reckon with. I like Hurst as well. I think Hurst is going to give us something different. He's much better than what we had originally. No disrespect to Hadmi or Jackson, but he is going to, once he's on form, he'll be providing goals as well. It's a shame he didn't score against Oxford because really, a striker should be putting that away after that cross that Burns provided him. And you could argue that for the dugouts on the pitch for that, he probably would have done. His time will come. I just think, at the moment, Ladapo starts. Ladapo's on form. He's got confidence. I think he's scored 13 goals now. Is it 13? Yeah. So I think he's going to get 20 for us as well this season. So, for me, it's him at the moment.
I'm going to sound a little bit harsh here, but like every time I hear her speak in interviews, I get the feeling he doesn't really want to be here. And maybe that's just my own personal perception, but just some of the quotes that I've heard him say, it was about like his move to Blackburn earlier in the season instead of coming here. And then like I think he got asked about like, are you look interested in a permanent move at Ipswich? And he was like, nah, it's not on my radar right now. Like maybe he's just being refreshingly honest. And obviously the guy's got big ambition for bigger and better things. But you hope Ipswich Town can offer that to him as well. So I don't think it would be a bad
I've been
option.
wanting him for over a year, so I'm sure that I'm sure he's got a thinking these guys do want me, but
Yeah,
yeah.
if you can fire someone up to the championship, then you're back in the championship again. So, you know, I wouldn't write it off.
No, and yeah, he's not playing for Leicester, is he? In the Premier League just yet. He needs to make his name, and because he's made his name in League One already with Pompey and stuff. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he does for the rest of the season. But there we go then. That's James and Segs, his team. Share your thoughts as ever, everybody. Let us know your thoughts on your starting 11 going forward. Now we've got something a little bit silly. Of course, we've got the strike. That is always silly, but we've got something else silly coming up next, and it is talking about the current Town squad. And if you're a wrestling fan, this weekend is the Royal Rumble, and one of the biggest events of the year. WrestleMania is big, but Royal Rumble is always my favorite. And I'm just going to ask a simple question to James and Segs, really. Who's going to win the Ipswich Town Royal Rumble out of the current Town squad? Now, yeah, you got the big, you've got Philly Adapo and stuff who are big, but then you also got the small players like Connor Chaplin and co, who could get eliminate a big man. You never know. But Seg's gonna go over to you for more of the wrestling fan on this pod. Out of the current Town squad, who would you reckon would win the Royal Rumble to get that world heavyweight title shot at WrestleMania?
After his performance, I mean, I'd probably go Harry Clark, the way he went, the passion he just went into that challenge the other night. Probably be Harry Clark for me, to be honest. We can't really see Ladapo winning the Rumble, to be honest. I think he probably wouldn't be too bothered about it. His attitude, it's that, some of the way I've heard, what I mean. So yeah, probably Harry Clark. I can't really think. Maybe Morsy. Morsy would be up for it, I reckon. The way he plays, he's probably a good showing.
Is it not about big personalities as well, though? Like the whole wrestling side of things and the whole event of it. Like
Well, not
George
really,
Emmett,
Albert.
big personality. Like he would have a good laugh, wouldn't he? So maybe.
I think he'll eliminate a few. He'll eliminate a few, I think. George Emerson, he's a big lad as well. So, Cameron Burgess will nut a few people, you know, throw out a few.
He can have his mask on as well.
Also, it's not all about, like, because people come in all the way through. So we've just had some January recruits, as Segs was saying, Harry Clark coming in. Maybe he comes in late to the bout, takes out a few, wins the Royal Rumble, and see you later.
Yeah. How are they entering? It all depends how they're entering. Like, are they entering with their numbers or closest to?
Ooh, that could be a good shout.
Walton would be in first. It would be Walton versus Keogh to start off with, wouldn't it?
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Battle them two.
Who's got the highest number then?
Well, you'd have to go by entrance, because obviously there's only 30 entrants, and obviously Harry Clark's number 34. So you'd have to, if you want to be proper condensed about it, you'd have to decide who was going to be in the Rumble completely.
We've got a few injuries though. You know, Dominic Ball's injured. You know, maybe you have to be fit and ready to go. Well, I think Dominic Ball would do pretty well. He sounds like a tough geezer as well. So
if he was fit,
Pinucci Kamara as well, he's out injured, so it has to be fit players. But yeah, you could do the squad numbers. That's the time you're coming in. So Harry Clark would probably likely be, but then you've got Junaid Dinashan, who's 44.
Yeah,
he's got 44. So once again, this is another thing we could really go in depth about. But we're going Harry Clark already to win the Rumble.
I'm going Harry Clark. Yeah, I think Harry Clark winning it. He just seems
I think he'd have a good shot, to be honest. I feel like Burns and Chaplin, like, although not the strongest people, they would goad a few. I reckon they'd be like people that would, you know, they would be the cheeky ones, because you saw Burns' celebration Tuesday, didn't you? So.
Yeah. They'll be the high flyers, and they'll be on the top rope, and then they think they're about to do their move, but then they get eliminated because they're being stupid, because you don't be on the top rope when you're in the Royal Rumble, because that's how you get eliminated, over the top rope. That's probably what Wes Burns will be doing. He'll be doing like a pose or something, because he's just, you know, having a good time, and then he gets eliminated because he's being a tit. But it'd be interesting to know if we do have any wrestling fans in the town squad, because I know James Norwood, of course, was a big, you know, because he had the gif of, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and everything, The Rock, of course, doing the thing. You even did a wrestling match, Seg, you went to that wrestling match, didn't you? I know you didn't have a wrestling match, but you just did a spot.
He was supposed to, wasn't he? He was supposed to have a match, but he was injured, wasn't he? That's when he was first come, and he was a bit, did he pull his hammy? Was it his hamstring? I can't remember. I can't remember what he was injured with, but there was worry he was going to pull out, but he still showed up, and he did a couple of rock bottoms, from memory.
Yeah.
Classic unorganised Ipswich town, like letting one of your first team squad take part in some charity wrestling match. And even though he's injury prone and, you know, not fit as it is, it's just like, come on, boys.
Organized.
Let's keep it professional.
Yeah. But I think it was a good thing at the time, because that was a massive sort of news at the time, of course, you know, a current town player, part of this charity event / The Rock actually getting involved in tweets and stuff. It was a funny time. And of course, that was the beginning of that season as well, where we were winning games and doing all right. But we know the rest, don't we? But there we go. Just a little bit of fun there, guys. Let us know in the comments as well who you reckon would win the Royal Rumble. Maybe once again, I could have added like what former players, but that's a whole segment if we want to do that.
God, I want to get an out, right?
Yeah, we won't do that. But let's get into the strike though, boys. Opportunity for James and Segs to be crowned the strike champion this week. We've got four questions plus a tiebreaker. James is just now panicking to find pen and paper.
Yeah, I'm going to have to as well. I'll be back.
Okay. You're going to just leave me to it. We'll just pause here. We're back in a few. Okay, yeah. We're back. Pen and paper now at the ready. Of course, play at home as ever. Let us know how you get on, as always, as well. Four questions plus a tiebreaker. First question is on the boy, Harry Clark. We've mentioned him a few times. He's been mentioned a lot this week. Now, this is actually a set question for both you and James, Segs, because what is Harry Clark's middle name? Is it James or Thomas? Of course, Segs' name is Thomas, but we call him Segs because there's so many Toms and Thomases. James or Thomas. What do you reckon then, boys? Harry Clark. Harry James Clark? Harry Thomas Clark? What sounds a bit... They sound pretty good. Some solid names. Oh, James is gone again. I think James' pen's not working.
I've got no pens at work. I'm just going to say mine first, and then I will. So you got to back yourself. So I think it's going to be James.
Okay.
I went Thomas.
You've got to back yourself. I was hoping, one of these days, hopefully I will have a full pod of, you know, it could be an option for everybody. But it is Thomas.
It is Harry Thomas.
What a name.
Or it's Harrison, actually. He's actually called Harrison. So Harry is actually going to have a nickname. So
yeah, actually, when I was watching an iFollow on Tuesday, when they showed up the teams, Harrison.
That's Harrison, yeah. Harrison Thomas Clark. Sounds like an American president.
It does. Sure, it does indeed. There we go. Harrison Thomas Clark. There we go. So 1 point goes to Segs. Question two. And now it's all the rest of the questions are Burnley related, as we're playing Burnley, of course, in the FA Cup this weekend. Drissa Diallo. Remember him back in the 2000s?
Foul throw expert.
Yes. Yes. He joined town from Burnley in 2003, but he won 8 caps for which country? Was it Guinea, Sierra Leone, or Togo? Guinea, Sierra Leone, or Togo. So 8 caps for this country. Which country was it? Yeah, Drissa Diallo. Good old... Yeah, I don't know what else to add. I don't think he really had much of an impact, did he, really? Well, he played, you know, under Joe Royal. Yeah.
So many foul throws.
Yeah.
Right. I've got an item. I've got a country.
Go ahead.
Okay. I put Guinea.
Yeah, I put Guinea.
And you are both right. It is Guinea. Just a Diallo. 8 caps of Guinea. So there we go. So 2-1 going
any,
to the question.
Any four. While he was at town? I can't really remember him going on international duty.
No, not at town. And not even at Burnley because his last cap was in 2001, I think, when he was in Belgium. So he joined Burnley from Belgium. I don't know the team atop my head. So move on. Question three. And now all of us weren't born when this happened. We've played Burnley in the Cup once before, but it was the League Cup back in 1977. And who scored a brace for Town in the only other Cup game against Burnley? Is it Trevor Wymark, Paul Mariner, or Eric Gates? It was a 2-1 win at Turf Moor in the third round of the League Cup. We got knocked out in the next round, though, by Man City, 2-1 at Portland Road. Little fun fact there for you. And one of these guys actually scored in that game as well. Was it Trevor Wymark, Paul Mariner, or Eric Gates?
Okay.
Of course, James, you need to get this right to make it 2-2, but if Segs gets it right and it makes it 3-1, so he's won. But we shall see.
I ain't got a clue. I went Mariner.
Okay.
That's a good guess based on how prolific he was, but I went for Eric Gates.
Oh, it's actually Trevor Wymark. So it's 2-1. So you're still in there, James, because we have got question four. Okay. But you have to get it right to win to get to a tiebreaker. But yeah, Trevor Wymark scored a lot of goals that year in the League Cup. He scored in every round during that one. So yeah, he scored, I think, 5 in total in like 3 Cup games. So not too bad at all. Question four is on the last game at Portman Road against Burnley. The last one we played him was a goalless draw. At Turf Moor, but last game at Portland Road was a 2-0 win back in 2015. Who scored the last goal in that game? Was it Freddie Sears, Dave McGoldrick, or Brett Pittman? So just picked all strikers once again, really. 2-0 win. Two of these players on this list did score in the game as well. One of them didn't, but who scored the last goal? So someone scored first, of course.
Tommy Year, was it?
2015. I should have put that. Sorry, I haven't got the date. I haven't got a date at hand. This was the same season, so this would have been the start of the season. This is the 2015-16 season. So yeah, it would have been the start of the season. So, yeah, the Turf Moor game, that goalless draw was New Year's or 2nd of Jan 2016. So, okay, then.
I decided that memory-based games and things like the strike are definitely not my forte.
It's fine. It's fine, James. Well, take away, though, as you're leading.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, what's that the word?
As I'm losing.
Yeah.
Trailing.
Yeah. Trailing, that's the word. Trailing.
McGoldrick.
All right, Freddie.
Correct answer. It is Didsy. It's Dave McGoldrick. It's 2-2 going into the tiebreaker.
Who is that one who scored?
Freddie Sears.
Yeah, I couldn't remember Pittman scoring against him. That's why I went Freddie.
Yeah. Or a fun fact, Pittman came on for Daryl Murphy very early in the game. Well, I think actually at half time. Must be an injury or something. So I think there was like another player came on early in that game as well. That's going to be my like fun fact as well for the game, but I've completely forgotten now. But I think it was someone came on for for Ryan Fraser, I think like 28th minute because of an injury. I forgot who came on for him now. It doesn't matter. Tiebreaker then, boys. Of course, closest gets the win. Normally for tiebreaker, if you get a bang on, you win. But as you're both going for it, you got to just closest to the correct answer gets the win. So I've gone the easy route. How many games has Town won against Burnley in 43 games in all competitions, in all games, home and away, 43 games in total. How many times has Town won? And I'm nearly just about to say, he just said the answer there. I was like, going to go through all the results, but I'll do that after when I've you guys have put your answer down. 43 games in total. Of course, yeah, I said it, we haven't played them since 2016 because they've been in the Premier League and all that jazz. Okay then, boys. Whenever you're ready, take it away.
Go on, Thomas.
We're on 17.
17.
Oh.
There it is.
There we go. Found it.
I've gone for 19.
Ooh. Okay then. Well. So it's been 13 defeats, 11 draws, and if you could do quick maths, it's 19. So James has got it bang on. Somehow got it bang on. Wow. Did you look at head-to-heads before coming on, or was it just an absolute massive guess? But take it away, my friend. You're the champion this week.
Absolute massive guess. I feel like I've got very fortunate being 2-1 down. And I think it's my first ever victory on the strike. So I'll take that. I'll take that little strike trophy home with pride.
Yeah, it's an invisible trophy because, yeah, no budget for a real one. But, yeah, you can hold it for this week and then next week it will just appear in your hands and it will go on to whoever wins next. But there we go. Now a strike in the bag. I hope everyone enjoyed it at home. If you played at home, let us know how you got on. Okay, then. Going into Burnley then, we got them in the FA Cup fourth round. We're actually in the fourth round of the FA Cup, which is great. Vincent Kompany & Co. coming to Portland Road. Of course, Burnley are doing pretty well in the championship this year. Top of the league, 18 points clear off of the top third place. 55 goals, scoring for fun, playing some very good football. James Seggs, just quickly sort of rewind back to when we got them in the draw. What can you remember when, you know, we got them? Because, yeah, we had an opportunity to have Man United, the Spurs, the Man Cities of the world. But we got Burnley. But a good test, though. What's your thoughts on the draw as a whole before we get into the game itself?
Can I go first?
Go ahead.
That went deflated, I think. That's rubbish. Oh, it's Burnley. At least it's not away. Will from in between us? Oh, I can't remember how the quote goes now.
Yeah, people ask me if I like football, and I say, yes, I do. Yeah. Not Burnley, and yeah, then the rest. It goes a different way, but it goes along those lines anyway.
All that kind of stuff. Annoyed because Man United were basically out of the pot next as well. It'd been nice to go to Old Trafford for the game. I was just kind of disappointed really that it was Burnley because it's Burnley. Who wants Burnley?
Yeah.
No disrespect to Burnley, but in hindsight, since then really, I just thought it's been a good test. Just like Rotherham, really. Rotherham where we were last year, so where we they are now. They were where we are last year, if that makes sense. So that was a good test for them. But this is a better one in terms of where we could be this time next year, maybe, if we do go up. So, you know, it's something to kind of compare against what we've got to look to, what we've got to build for, and how far we are from that. So, it's going to be a good game. It's just going to be good challenge and good to see where we are at the moment and how much we've got to do to kind of how far we need to go to compete in the championship if we ever get there.
Yeah, please, please. And as you said, I think it's good it's at home. I've been to Turf Moor before, but ideally, if you're playing teams like Burnley, you want them at home, really. And I'm putting out there straight away, no replay, all right? No bloody replay, please. It's just town. No one wants to go to Turf Moor and play Tuesday night. I don't want to do it on a Saturday night, Saturday in general, but Tuesday night, bloody hell. I'm just getting out of my system now. I'll probably even start on game day in the intro. Like, yeah, here we are. Another game day. No replay, please. We'll find out. But James, your thoughts on the draw and sort of segue nicely into just the game as a whole as well.
Yeah, so I had similar thoughts to Segs. Ross, I actually sent you a GIF earlier on, and it was of Alan Partridge shrugging. If anybody knows that, that's listening or watching. And basically, that's how I felt when we found out we were playing Burnley. I kind of also thought, oh, similar level club to us. And then you realise that we're languishing in League One and they've been in the Premier League for a good number of seasons. But I kind of always think of them from my teenage years when we used to play them in the Championship on a number of occasions. So, it's interesting to see how we've both diverged since then. And as we've got closer to the game, actually more excited now because I actually looked into how they're doing. They're top of the Championship, so actually really impressive. Obviously got Vincent Kompany as their manager, probably playing quite an exciting brand of football. So made the decision this week to go. I was always planning to go visit my family this weekend, but I hadn't bought a ticket. Maybe a mix of laziness and kind of apathy for the game in general. But yeah, actually looking forward to it now and really excited to, after Tuesday night especially, to see how we kind of push on from there.
Definitely, yeah. 23k sold just as of this recording, which is just great for an FA Cup fourth round tie against Burnley. And it just sort of shows appetite that Town fans have, you know, just watching Kieran McKenna's side. And, you know, as you said, it should be an entertaining game. Vincent Kompany is playing some very good football. I don't watch as much Championship football as I would probably like because, you know, we watch League One football. But when I do sometimes flick on and, you know, Burnley are playing, they play some good football and are very different to Sean Dyche's football. And Sean Dyche versus Mick McCarthy back in the day. It'll be Kieran McKenna versus Vincent Kompany on the touchline. Segs, let's talk about hot takes and the game itself, your prediction. What's your hot take? Predict something that you think will happen from the sublime to the ridiculous.
I don't know, really. Latke will score. Latke will score and Latke will score. Boot out there. It's going to be windy on Saturday. I don't know if it is or not, but it's going to be a bit windy, so Latke's going to boot out there because he started and then it's just going to end up in the back of the net somehow. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. It's just the best thing I've come up with. Yeah, in terms of Saturday, yeah, like I said already, I'm looking forward to same as James, really. I wasn't sure where we're going to go. There's sort of things going on at the moment, sort of busy. But sort of as time's come on, sort of originally when we've got the draw, kind of wasn't that bother about coming, but now it's getting closer. And you sort of see how many people are going, so I didn't really want to miss out. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to, like I say, a good test, good challenge. Looking forward to see how we get on, really. It's going to be nice going to a game and not really have that same pressure that we get during the league games and worrying if the rest is going to cost us because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I mean, it would be nice to advance and get further in the FA Cup because we haven't got this far in ages. But at the same time, it doesn't really matter if we don't because the league's most important. We've got to get out of this league. So, it'll be good.
You seen who the ref is for this weekend?
Yeah.
No?
So the ref sent off the wrong guy in a game on Tuesday night in the Bolton game. And he's our ref for Saturday.
So great.
I think it was between him and the linesman, they made a balls up and got the wrong person, sent him off. One of the Bolton players. And yeah, that's our ref on Saturday. So I don't know if that's another sad indictment of the standard of League One refereeing, but it's that's who we've got.
Great.
Yeah. Great, yeah. But as you said, Segs, it won't affect us too much because, yeah, there's no points on the line, but it could affect it being a draw and we have a replay. So, I'm harrowing that home too much now.
But at the same time, Sheffield Wednesday could win and get a tough draw, or they get an easy draw, and then they've got more fixture congestion in their in their fixtures. Where if we lose or if we do draw and then go out via replay, it's kind of it's swings around about. It is what it is. We've got the fitness to cope with it. We've seen a fit squad now. You know, if we do get an extra game, either via replay or via fifth round, we've definitely got the capacity to, the squad's definitely got the capacity to fit it in. I think fifth round as well, I don't think it postpones any games, does it? Because I think it's a weak game, I think, from memory.
Yeah, I think it is now.
So that'll be one other plus that won't affect us in terms of the fixtures. You know, I can't remember if it's a home or away. You know, if it's a away game, we don't need to rearrange to go because it's... there's no game plan for when the fifth round is. So, if we do get in the fifth round, it's just an extra midweek game, which doesn't matter too much. If it's at home, even better. That's when we'll get Man United, though, won't it? Of course, because someone like that, where we've got to take time off for it instead of going up on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. That's always the way. Well, James, what's your hot takes for the game then, my friend, and just predictions as a whole? Is this an opportunity to bring Halaki in goal? I know Walton has played a few cup games. I think he played the Buxton game in goal, but then Halaki came in for Rotherham. What are you doing with the team? Your hot takes.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to bring Halaki in. I think it makes sense to bring the defence, which were rested / dropped on Tuesday, in. Kind of give them game time, and you probably find that from next week you'll get a hybrid of basically both teams, depending on who's still in the doghouse and who isn't, in McKenna's books anyway. I would expect the goalkeeper to change, most of the defense to change. Probably see KVY on the left, probably.
Nah, it'd be Greg.
Is he fit?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, then Greg Lee on the left, and then maybe KVY on the right then.
Because Harry Clark is cup tied for this. He played for Stoke in their win against Hartlepool.
With the front guys, you probably can just chuck darts at a map and just have a guess. Like, it could be Humphreys, it could be Morsey, it could be Evans. Like, who knows? Could be Luongo. This has got to be the game he plays in, I would think. Like, otherwise, he's never going to get a chance to impress because he's quite far down that pecking order now. Quick one on hot take. 6+ goals. That is my hot take.
Ooh.
I say that because I think that both sides are playing an entertaining brand of football. And I think attack will overwhelm defence in this game. And I think it's just going to be a fun day out for everybody. I don't think it's going to be 6-0 either way. I think it might be probably a 4-2 to Burnley, but six plus goals. That's my hot take.
Okay, I like that. I like to see loads of goals. And of course, you know, we beat Rotherham 4-1. Of course, Rotherham are a very different side, but you know, that was a surprise. But we shall see. What's your prediction then, Segs? And we'll go to you, James. So, James, you're going for a 4-2 Burnley win, or is that just for your hot take?
Yeah, I'm going for a 4-2 Burnley win. I think it's going to be quite a spirited performance, but it'll be one of those games where their quality will shine through.
Okay, Segs, prediction, my friend.
Yeah, I predict goals as well. It's going to be end to end, isn't it? We're both attacking teams now, so you know it's going to be, like James said, defence sort of overwhelmed in a way. I'll probably go 3-2 Burnley. I don't think it's going to be quite 6+, but you never know. But yeah, I'll go 3-2 Burnley.
Oh, I want to see this, boys. I want to see goals. It's going to be entertaining anyway.
Surely.
Yeah, I want to see that or a Burnley win, just so there's no replay. I'm sorry to have that home again. I know. I think Andy said on the main pod that he loves football. Well, I love football games. I love going to football games, but not Turf Moor on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whenever the game will be played.
He clearly loves football more than his family.
Possibly.
if he wants to get to Burnley on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but then, you know, you love your football, don't you?
Of course, yeah.
But we shall see. We'll find out on Saturday at after 5 o'clock to see if we have won, drawn, or lost, and if we are heading to Burnley on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. But we shall wait and see. But anyway, guys, I hope you've enjoyed another edition of Kings of Anglia Fan Social. Thanks, Segs and James, for joining me. But as ever, boys, any other business, anything else you want to shout out or mention Yeah, take it away. Anything you want to plug?
I just think it's good that the club are doing this, the beam back for the Cambridge game. I saw some fans were clamouring about it on Twitter when the tickets sold out in record quick time. I just think that's a really nice touch from the club, to just shows that they're continuing to listen. They're continuing to kind of try and enhance the fan experience, I suppose, especially because we got 1,000 less tickets than we did last season to Cambridge. And I'm not in Ipswich that weekend. I'll actually be in Cambridge at the game. Basically, it's £6, I think, for a pint and a pie, and you get to watch the game. So it seems like a no-brainer if you're around Ipswich, like, to just go down and watch it, because, you know, it's going to be another important game in our season.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, good to mention that. Segs, any other business from you, my friend?
No, nothing I can think of. The only thing, if we're going down that route, it's nice that they're doing the meet the players of Met Holland and that for the RTFC Foundation that they announced yesterday. That's also, you know, something positive, something interactive. It's good from the club to, you know, keep us involved, really. So I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I love, like, Matt Holland getting involved more. They've got in, is it Alfie Indra? Like, he's been doing a few bits on social media as well. Like, just town fans that are kind of are getting, like, a media background or have, like, a, you know, background in the arts. Like, it's really cool to get those kind of people involved in the club a bit more, to help us with some of our stuff. It's great.
It's definitely
The owners are in town, aren't they? Yeah. Well, they will be in town.
Yeah.
On their private jet home from the US.
Yeah, they wanted to come to the big game against Burnley in the FA Cup. They want a bit of FA Cup action. That's what they want. It's going to be good. I'm pleased it's going to be a big crowd, because the Rotherham game, it fell because they didn't open up the top tiers, did they, for that? Am I making that up? They didn't open.
They opened some bits of the ground. I don't think they opened the whole ground.
I was there, but yeah, that happened. But yeah, it's just great. You know, 23 for an FA Cup game. It's going to be good, because in the previous couple of years, there's not been massive crowds to these. I know we've been knocked out early doors most of the time, but it's going to be good. I like it. As you mentioned, Matt Holland James, I want to just sort of plug my feature with him for In Pictures. And if you haven't already, check it out. A really good chat with Matt. And of course, the next episode is a big one. George Burley, former player, former manager, and all-round legend. That'll be out in a few weeks. So look out for that. But yeah, really good chat with good old George. And
great feature as well. It's like something a bit different as well. Like watching on YouTube and obviously having the pictures there to talk and through the memory. So, like, you know, is a really good watch for anybody interested in more Ipswich Town content.
Yes, more Ipswich, more. Of course, I've got to plug all the other bits and bobs we do. Of course, the main show and also Track the Girls Talk. This weekend is actually a FA Cup doubleheader, because the Ipswich Town women's team have got a game this weekend on Sunday at the AGL Arena in Felixstowe. They play a Devon Championship side in Lewis in the fourth round of the FA Cup too. So if you're free, go down to Felixstowe. It's a bit chilly nowadays currently, of course, you know, it's January. But if you're free, go down. It should be a good game against a championship side, a good test for the women's team. So listen to Track the Girls Talk if you haven't already. We'll be back, of course, next week to do all this again, chat all things town. And that is it. Thanks again for listening. Of course, give us a review if you haven't already. Subscribe, follow us at All Kings of Anglia on our social media. James, Segs, thanks for joining me. Bye for now.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.